Someone shared with me recently that in life, we all journey through seven stages of life. We start with spills. We move to drills. We move from there to thrills. Then we enter that phase in life where there are bills. Then we come to the stage of ills, which leads us to the stage of pills. And finally, our lives conclude with wills. Well, I don't know which stage you're in this morning. I'll invite you to think about that. But this morning we are thinking about our lives. We're thinking about how they progress, but not just the stages of our lives. But this morning I want you to think with me about the form, the shape of your life. Several months ago, there was a movie out with an interesting title. The title of the movie was The Shape of Water. Does water have a shape? We know from a chemical structure it has a shape, but what is the shape of water? Well, so about our lives as well. What is the shape? What is the form of your life? The dictionary defines a form in the following way. The dictionary says a form is a visible shape or configuration of something. Another way to say it, a form is a particular way in which a thing exists or appears. I like that. So what is the visible sign of your life? What is the visible shape or form of your life? Is there a particular way that your life appears to others in this world? Maybe one of the easiest ways to think about the importance of form is to think about Jell-O. Jell-O can be shaped and structured into many different kinds of visible shapes and forms. Basically, when Jell-O is liquid, you pour it into a container, into a structure, into a mold. And what does that mold do? What it does is it determines the final shape, the final form of the Jell-O. Someone has said every life has a form. That is to say that every life establishes a particular structure, a particular pattern, a pattern of thought, a pattern of action, a pattern of behavior that is demonstrated and visible in how the person lives. Now we know that this morning, these patterns, these forms are varied in structure and shape. There are some life forms that are destructive. For example, some people lie, they gossip, they talk critically about others. Some people steal, they kill, they destroy life, they destroy property. Some life forms are negative. But the opposite is also true. There are forms or structures or ways of living our lives that are positive in nature. We can structure our lives in such a way that others see us as peaceful, as respectful, as full of goodwill, of forgiveness, of compassion, of love. So why are there different life forms? What influences or shapes or makes the different various forms of life? Well, like Jell-O, in part, the difference is found in what we pour our lives into. What is it that we allow to shape and form and structure our lives? What do we pour our lives into that establishes the form of our lives? Well, for example, we see this sometimes in the lives of teenagers or young people. A particular young person who has so much promise, who has so much possibility, suddenly begins to act or to behave in ways that were very different from how they lived their life previously. Why? Well, someone might say he or she fell in with the wrong crowd. What does that mean? When we say that a person fell in with the wrong crowd, at least in part, what we're saying is this particular young person allowed their life to be influenced and shaped and formed by those who were living life in a different way. The forms of the lives of others began to shape and mold this particular person's life. And we know the stark reality is true for all of us. The people, the things, the thoughts, the behaviors, all of these things that we allow to occupy our time have a direct impact on our lives. In other words, these are the things that we pour our lives into. So how would you describe the form of your life? What molds and shapes your life today? Well, there are many options to consider. One option is this. One way of shaping our lives is to allow our lives to be formed by the world in which we live. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells a parable. It's the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And in this parable, he says that the rich man was dressed nicely and lived in luxury, while there was a poor beggar named Lazarus who lived just outside the gates of this rich man's home. Lazarus was poor. He was covered with sores. He only ate the scraps from the man's table. And as Jesus tells the parable, he goes on to say that both of these men died. The rich man, he said, went to his eternal destination outside of the presence of God, while Lazarus, the beggar, went to be with God in heaven for all eternity. Why? What was it that made the difference in the ultimate destination for these two individuals? Well, here's what Jesus goes on to say. He tells us that the rich man permitted his love for money to form his life. Now, those are my words, not Jesus' words, but that's what Jesus was teaching. What he is saying to us clearly in that parable is that this man, this rich man, allowed his love for money to be his greatest value. In other words, his love for money became that which formed and became the structure and mold for his life. The rich man found that he was formed by the things and the people around him that he could buy, that he could sell, that he could command. Even after his death, the rich man still believed he could control other people. He still believed he should be served. After he dies, Jesus said, he asked Abraham, the rich man asked Abraham, to send Lazarus up to relieve his suffering, or down to relieve his suffering. And when that did not work, he asked Lazarus then to be sent to his rich brothers to tell them of the consequences of the form of life they had chosen. This is one of the forms that we can choose for ourselves, having the values of the world shape and mold our lives. And you know what we should say this morning? We are all in danger of allowing the world to form and shape and mold our lives. Let us be honest. The world has a powerful influence on all of us. It doesn't take a deep analysis for us to know that there are people, there are companies, there are organizations, there are movements in this world that want us to be influenced by their philosophy, to buy their products, to pay for their service, to support their causes, on and on and on. We are surrounded in our lives by influences that try their very best to shape and mold the decisions that we make in our lives into a worldly form. But according to the Bible, there are better ways to shape and mold our lives. In Deuteronomy chapter 26 that Dr. Hamilton read for us earlier this morning, we are told that a better way, a more productive way to form and shape our lives is to be influenced by our memories. This passage that we read earlier talks about the significance of the people of Israel remembering what God had done for them. They had entered the promised land, and as part of what Moses had said to them, he said, remember that memories help to shape our lives. God wants you to never forget who you are or how you became God's people, remember what God has done for you. In other words, just before they were entering into the promised land, Moses was saying, when you enter, never forget who you are. You belong to God, and the memories of what God has done in the past will shape and influence and form who you are in the present and in the future. But if we add to that reading, we move to our text for today in 2 Corinthians. And in this second letter Paul writes to his Christian friends in Corinth, he encourages them and us to remember something very specific. In other words, not only remember all that God has done for you, that's important, but Paul says, I want you to remember something very specific. And here's what he said. I want to challenge you to allow your life to be formed and shaped by the cross of Christ. Paul describes here what it means to live the Christian life. And here's what he says. The Christian life is shaped and formed by the life and the central act of Jesus himself. The Christian life is best lived in the form of the cross. Now, that's how I read Paul's words. His exact words were these. Always remember, you are carrying in your body the death of Jesus Christ. So that as you carry the death of Jesus in your body, the life of Jesus may be made visible in all of our bodies. It is the cross that shapes and forms our lives. As I was working on this sermon, I realized that I have several crosses in my office, and they remind me of different things given by different people, but there's one cross that sits on my desk every day, and it's a cross that was a gift given to me, and this particular cross sits there, and it's a cross that was designed to be held in your hand. When you're thinking about what's going on in your life, when you're praying to God, you're to take this cross and hold it in your hand and allow that cross to influence you as you think, as you pray, as you contemplate a situation. What is that? It is the cross becoming the form and the shape of life. It is the cross influencing the decisions that are made, the prayerful attitude, the listening to God, and allowing this cross as it sits in my hand to shape and form and mold and make my life. You know, Jesus said it this way, take up your cross and follow me. Well, how do we do this? How can we have the cross of Christ as the basic form and shape of our lives? Well, as we said earlier, one of the things is we have to confess from the beginning that our lives have so many outside influences that we must be aware of all of those things that sometimes try to pull us away from the cross as that which forms and shapes our lives. There are so many outside influences on all of our lives. The friends that we are around, the clubs and the organizations that we are a part of, our school, our work, all of these things shape and form us. Our families shape and form us. Our recreation, our leisure shape and form us. What we read shapes and forms us, what we listen to on the television or the radio or podcasts or what we watch on the net or all of these things. They shape and influence our lives. Everything that comes into our bodies, from our eyes, from our ears, from our minds, they all shape and form us. There is no escaping this truth. It happens to us all. So here's the key. As we recognize all of these external influences on our lives, even though we cannot escape the influence from them, we can control many of the things that come into our lives. We are not malleable to every whim or issue that confronts us. We are not victims to the things of this world. We have control over the things that we allow to shape and form our lives. And here's one thing I would suggest this morning that as Christians we must give serious thought to. We need to give God equivalent time in our lives to all the other things that influence us. We need to give God equivalent time in our lives so that God's presence and God's power and God's love and mercy influences and shapes and molds us as these other things maybe seek to pull us away. We give God time to mold and form us as we read the Bible. One of the most important things we do is to listen to God's word, to give God equivalent time so that God's word permeates our being, so that on a daily basis we take up the cross of Christ that is found here so that it influences all of our actions and behavior. We give God equivalent time through our life of prayer. We want to connect our lives with the power and the presence of God, and prayer does this for us. The reality is we never remind ourselves too much of how important prayer will be for us. It becomes essential in shaping and forming who we are in our lives and our walk with Christ. We give God equivalent time by being with God's people, coming to church, being a part of worship, growing in our discipleship. These are ways that we intentionally give God equivalent time in our lives so that we allow God to shape and to form and to mold our lives. Our text reminds us this morning that the cross of Christ is the basic form of the Christian life. Many of you know Holman Hunt. Holman Hunt was a surrealist artist who is probably best known for his painting of Jesus standing at the door and knocking, and the door only has a handle on the inside that allows the individual inside to open the door to allow Jesus in. Well, that's probably the painting that Holman Hunt is best known for, but there are several other paintings, especially two this morning, that I want to mention. One painting by Holman Hunt is of the interior of a carpenter's shop. Joseph is working inside the shop, and so is the boy Jesus. Mary is also present. But as they're working, Jesus pauses in his work and he stops to stretch himself from the work that he's doing. And the sun coming in through the window casts itself upon Jesus. And behind him on the wall is the shadow of the cross. The other is a painting by Holman Hunt. It's actually a popular engraving. It depicts Jesus as a toddler. And as a young little boy, Jesus is running to his mother, Mary. And as he runs, his arms are outstretched so that his mother, Mary, can pick him up. And even as he runs to her as a toddler, the sun shining on him casts a shadow on the ground of the cross. Both pictures remind us that if we read the Gospels the way they appear in our Bible today, it is clear that the death of Jesus was in reality in view from the very beginning. The cross was the form of Jesus' life. This morning I ask you, how is your life shaped and formed by the cross? When others look at you, do they see the influence, the significance of the cross of Christ in your life? 'Twas a life filled with aimless desperation, without hope, walked the shell of a man. Then a hand with a nail print stretched downward. Just one touch, and a new life began. And the old rugged cross made the difference. This morning I invite you on this Labor Day weekend to make or to renew your commitment to Jesus Christ so that you may tell the world that you are a Christian, so that we may live our lives so that others would see Jesus through us, that our lives would be shaped and formed by the cross of Christ. For just as Paul himself said, I am always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be visible to all. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, this morning as we reflect on your word, we are mindful of the cross of Christ, of your calling in our lives, and of the challenge to be obedient. Lord, we thank you for the cross, and we pray that the influence and significance of this cross may shape and form who we are, what we say, and all that we do. So, Lord, lead us and guide us as your people. For we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.